Welcome to Inspired with Megan Alexander. Hey, hey everyone, Megan here. So glad you are with me. Today, I get to chat with someone who you may watch every morning on Fox and Friends, the morning show on the Fox News Channel. Ainsley is now a New Yorker, but is called South Carolina and Texas home. We'll talk about that. In addition to being a national TV anchor, Ainsley is a children's book author, and her second book, Through Your Eyes, My Daughter's Gift to Me, is out now. Please welcome my dear friend, Ainsley Earhart.
Hi, Megan. Thank you so much. I'm really happy to be here. Thanks for the invitation.
I am so excited to chat with you. So proud of you. So thrilled for your success. And as a mother, I want to say thank you for these precious books that are a gift to anybody out there who has little kiddos.
You're so sweet. Well, listening to that intro, I'm thinking, to God be the glory, because it's so funny to hear you say a children's book author.
Yeah.
So Megan and I lived together when we were in San Antonio, Texas. We worked on the morning show there at Kins 5, which is the CBS affiliate. And
what's
that's
up,
how we
San Antonio? We got to give him a shout out.
Holla! So we were there together and had a great time. And we have so many fun stories we can share with you. But I had the idea when I was sitting in church that I just felt like God was nudging me. You're going to write a children's book one day. And my mom's a retired school teacher of 33 years. My sister is still an educator. She teaches little ones to early childhood development in Charleston, South Carolina. So I thought, I'll write a book with my mom and my sister. How fun would that be to use my platform on television to travel the world and to go read to kids in local markets and share our love of literacy with children? And I didn't know what the story was going to be about, what I was going to write about. So when I moved to New York, my husband...
Wait, so you had this vision in San Antonio?
Yeah. Yeah. I just felt like I was going to do this one day. I loved... I remember watching Madonna introduce her children's book, and it was so beautiful, and she was a mother. And I remembered Madonna being on stage and being, you know, a little provocative. And then she...
A little.
I know.
Right.
But then she becomes a mother and she writes a children's book. I think it was about flowers, English flowers, the English garden. And I thought, wow, motherhood really changes us.
Yes.
So I thought, I would love to do that one day. So here I am, you know, I'm 41 years old and I've written my second children's book. And I presented it to the publisher. The original book that I wrote was about my dog. And they said, Ainsley, you know, we have so many dog books. Tell us about yourself. We want to do something with you, but we're not sure what. And I told them, I said, my father, told them about my life and how great my parents are. And I grew up in, you know, Columbia, South Carolina. And here I am at the national level and in New York and how all my dreams have come true and how God has really blessed my life. And I want to give back to children. And I, you know, the whole story. And so they said, tell us about your family. And I said, well, my mom was a school teacher and she would leave at 7 a.m. And my dad would always prepare our breakfast. And he'd leave a little note, a scripture, a poem, a saying. He's very inspirational.
Yes.
He was a coach. And so he is always trying to teach us a lesson, which drove us crazy when we were kids.
Sure.
But now looking back on it, I still have his messages in my mind. Both my parents are still alive and live in Columbia together, and they're amazing. So it was cool to present my dad the first book, and it'll be cool to present him the second book. It's just come out. So
that was for Take Heart, My Child.
Yeah. And they asked me, do you ever feel like you can share your faith on air? And I said, you know, Fox has never told me what I can and can't say on air. They tell us to be ourselves. And so I said, one day we were talking about ISIS and we were talking about the election season. And I said, you know, there's a scripture that comes to mind and it is, take heart, I have overcome the world. Mm. And they said, that's the title of your book, Take Heart. And so we added My Child, Take Heart, My Child, because I was pregnant at the time. So the first book is a lyrical lullaby of all of the sayings and things, lessons that my dad and my mom wanted us to know as children.
Yeah.
So then the second book, we wrote this and I just prayed, you know, God, give me the words, whatever you want us to say to the audience. And they said, tell us about Ainsley. Let's meet and let's talk about where you are in your life right now. And I said, I've had the best year of my life. I've had so many blessings. I got the national news anchor job. My first book went to number one on the New York Times bestseller
list.
Yes,
it did. Congrats.
Thank you. And then I had a baby.
Yes.
So, I mean, those are three major events in my life. And I am just so overwhelmed. You know, we worked in small markets. You work really hard in our profession. You work the crazy hours and you try not to burn bridges. You try to be nice to everyone. You just work. We're worker bees.
Yes.
And most people that we went to journalism school with don't survive because the hours are tough. The weekends, working the shifts, the not seeing your families and traveling and always having to have a suitcase packed, as you know.
Working holidays.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. But when you love it and you're passionate about it, you succeed in it and you can't imagine your life anywhere else. So for all of that hard work, which took me, I tell interns, I'm like, don't expect to get the big job immediately.
Right.
You know, I was 21 when I started the business and I'm 41 now. And here I am halfway through my life. I've been in the business for half of my life and now I have my dream job. You just got to keep working. So this book was about not only that, but what she has taught me, my daughter, and that is to slow down. Our professions are so busy with, you know, 1,000 emails a day, with text messages continuously, following the news, crazy hours, trying to be a mom, you're trying to balance it all, take care of our households, which all women love to do. So I was just in a busy, busy season. And she has taught me to slow down because when you have a baby, as you know, all of a sudden you look at life differently because they're looking at, I remember standing outside of my apartment building and taking my daughter out for a walk and it was raining. We didn't realize it. And I'd forgotten my umbrella and I walk outside and we just stand under this awning and she's watching the rain and just her awe. And she had never seen rain before. And she's thinking, what is this? Then we were shopping in a store and, you know, New Yorkers, they take their dogs everywhere. So we're shopping in the store and she's on my hip and I'm, you know, flipping through the clothes in front of me and I hear her squealing and I turn around and there's a dog behind us and she's just squealing in laughter. It was the first time she'd ever seen a dog close up.
Yeah.
And she she was petting the dog. And I just thought, this is the first time this human being is seeing a dog.
It's such an appropriate title, I think,
through your eyes. And my child's gift to me.
And you wrote in the back here, Ainsley writes on the last page, my daughter is my teacher. She is the one who helps me slow down and find wonder in the small things. Mm. I get the pleasure of watching a young human being discover life, which you just shared. And you said every time she has a new experience, I do as well through her eyes.
Yeah.
As I was reading this book, Ainsley, if I could just jump in and say, I felt like I was once again experiencing that, you know, in those moments that I've had with my little boys. Mm-hmm. I think you perfectly capture the magic of having a baby and how magical motherhood is.
Thank you. It really is. It's such a gift. And, you know, your wedding day is so special. But when you hold your baby in your arms and you're there with your partner, with your husband, my husband was there, and it was our moment to share that God had blessed us with this child that we had difficulties having. And so we hold this baby in our arms and she's ours. And she is the best gift, in my opinion, the best gift other than Jesus Christ that I've ever received. And so God has let me borrow her from him. And she's just touched our hearts. I mean, to hold your child there, it was truly the best weekend of my life. We had a C-section, so we had to choose her birthday and we chose a Friday. And I'm so glad we did. We had to choose the 6th or the 10th of November. And we chose the 6th because it was a Friday. So all of our family could come up. They were waiting in the waiting room and we wanted to do the traditional thing.
Yeah.
And my husband, I delivered the baby and he delivered the news of being a girl.
Oh,
and so
you
waited. We waited.
You did not want to know the gender.
Yeah.
I love that.
And you said, no way, I can't do that. You found out the gender.
I found out for the first one, but I did not want to find out for the second.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
I said, yeah, I don't want to know.
Which way do you recommend then now that you've done both?
Well, I think that there are few things in life that surprise us anymore. We are looking for instant answers with technology and so forth. So if I have a third, I don't want to know. The surprise is too much fun.
Yeah.
It's just one more element, isn't it?
Well, all the things, okay, this is what a child teaches you. All the things we worried about. Like I wanted to have, my mom kept saying, don't you want to have monogram clothes in the closet? You know, we're Southern. Don't you want to have the nursery either pink or blue? Like all these things you can plan for nowadays. When we were growing up, we didn't have this luxury. You can find out if it's a boy or a girl and you can prepare and plan. We don't have any clothes for this child. And I said, Mom, it's okay.
You know what the answer is.
The store is right around the corner.
Or yellow.
Yes.
Just use the color yellow.
We did gray and white, which was very soothing. You know, we had a lot of pushback from families saying, don't you want to find out? And we were going through the name process. But what I've learned is it's okay. If you have your third child and you don't find out and you have two boys, if you have a little girl, guess what?
Yeah.
Babies R Us is right around the corner.
Exactly.
I mean, you can send your mom out to get clothes. It's not that big of a deal.
Exactly.
It is fun to have that surprise. And you know what? I'm a traditionalist. I just love the tradition.
Sure.
I love the throwback. I like having something that our grandparents had, that our parents had, where they didn't know, they couldn't find out. It just reminds me of, I'm such an old soul. And so it reminds
absolutely.
me of,
The anticipation, too, is really fun.
It really
is. I mean, because I'm sure you had these conversations with your husband. I had conversations with Brian. What do you think? What do you really think? Yeah. Do you want to know? Yeah. No. It's just, it's very fun. It adds one more
element. And you think, like, I remember thinking, I'm going to be a better mom to a son. Because I'm kind of like, matter of fact, I'm like, this is the way it is. You know, I'm fast paced. I'm like, I thought a daughter, the emotions, all that. Like, I don't know if I can handle that. What if she doesn't like me? What if we fight in our 20s? You know, all that stuff. And then I realized when they tell us it's a girl, it's wonderful. Oh, she's perfect for us. And now I get to travel with her. I can share a hotel room with her and take her to Europe one day, which would be my goal to be able to do that.
You got exactly who God wanted you to have.
Absolutely.
Right?
I would not want it any other way.
Ainsley's daughter is absolutely adorable. Bouncy curls. So cute.
So are your sons.
Thank you. There was a moment on Fox and Friends recently on your birthday where she surprised you and came running on set. And
it's so precious
when she runs up to you. It's such a precious age they're babies and toddlers. And this book perfectly illustrates it. And the illustrations are absolutely magical. Now, talk about how you found your illustrator. And really, I mean, I talk about talent. This is just gorgeous.
Well, thank you.
Folks, it's a picture book that is, like I said, I feel like it is a work of art. I had this conversation with my mother. She's just like, the illustrations are breathtaking. Oh, both of them.
Oh, really?
Breathtaking, magical. And in terms of the process, though, did you find the illustrator? Did you get matched up? How does that work?
So what happened with our first illustrator? It's interesting. Both illustrators have the same last name of Kim. The first one was Jamie Kim, and this is G. Kim. And Jamie, it was kind of a last minute thing because we went through several illustrators that we thought were great. What happens in the process? You sit down with your publishers, and they're experts at this. I have no experience in writing a book. I mean, I owe it to Simon & Schuster for these beautiful books, because you sit down with this team. They bring out all these different illustrators and all of their pictures, and they say, go through and tell us which ones you like. So it is I choose the illustrator, but they're the ones that narrow it down for me. Mm-hmm. So I chose one or two the first go round, and they reached out to them, and they had other contracts, so they weren't available. So then an agent sent Jamie Kim's work to Simon & Schuster, and they said, this lady's illustrations, they're just beautiful. So we looked at them, and I said, gosh, she is so talented. So she did our first book. She was not available to do the second book. She's under contract for another book, unfortunately, because I thought this would be a good match. She already did my first book. Well, then we find G. Kim, and he is a phenomenal illustrator. The illustrations look very similar to the first book. Yes. And so we're extremely pleased. His illustrations really came to life. And I had a big hand in the colors that we chose. I wanted to do lots of pinks and purples and teals and blues because those are the colors I like. Yeah. So he was phenomenal to work with. And his illustrations remind me so much of Central Park.
Yes.
So my grandparents, when I was growing up, they had placemats on their table, their dining room table or their kitchen table. And they were like laminated placemats of different bridges throughout, I don't know if it was South Carolina or if it was New York City, but now when I walk through Central Park, I see these bridges, these beautiful bridges. And so it reminds me of my grandparents who are no longer with us. So there are some pictures in the book of different bridges in Central Park or different bridges that he illustrated that remind me of Central Park and remind me of those placemats. Mm-hmm. So it takes me back to my childhood. Then the monarch butterfly, I was in second grade and I did an insect project and my grandfather helped me with that. And he's a big golfer or was a big golfer. And he said, when you see a monarch, think of me. So all of us at our weddings, all the grandkids have seen a monarch butterfly at our weddings. Oh. So we knew that he was there with us. I always think of him when I see the monarch because he helped me with that school project. So there are a lot of monarch butterflies and different butterflies in this book. And there is this page in the book of a lake, which looks like the lake in Central Park, where all the kids come and they put their boats in the water. They're remote control boats. You can rent them there at Central Park. And there's a picture of that in the book. So, Hayden and I go there on Saturdays pretty regularly to get a cup of coffee, walk through the park. She sees the boats. She pets the dogs because the dogs can go without their leashes at a certain time. And she just squeals with excitement still. So just to see
the moments,
these special moments. Here are the monarch butterflies. Megan and I are looking through the book right now.
Absolutely beautiful. I think people will, as I did, relate and think of their childhood and being a mother, right? It takes you back and you go, oh my gosh, what children's books did I love my mom and my dad and my grandparents to read to me? I found myself reflecting as I went through your book and going, oh my gosh, I'm thinking about moments I had with my mom where we'd go to lunch, you know, when I was little. I can tell family and the way you share family traditions, very important to you, your grandparents, your parents. How do you think that got instilled in you? It's important to your family. And it, like you just shared, it's something that I think people are really longing for today with all this technology. We sort of want to go back and grab onto what's real in the past and what we can hold on to. How did your family do it?
No family out there. It's not bliss and it's not roses all day long, every day. You just fight through it. You fight through the difficulties together. And, you know, family is just, you're tight. You can say something. I can say something about my sister or my brother, but you're not allowed to. You know,
it's, right.
We just stick together. And I think as we've gotten older, my sister and I always fought when we were growing up. And then my grandmother, it really bothered my grandmother. And she said, one day y'all are going to regret this. You're going to be best friends. My sister and I are so close now. We were just so different growing up. And so I've learned how they always have my back because I think what allows you to realize that when you're 13 years old and you're 15 years old, you have your own stresses.
Yeah.
But you don't like your siblings. You don't like your parents. You want to be in a different family. You want to be in a different state. You want a different lifestyle. But when you get older and you've gone through a few things, which unfortunately it's inevitable. Mm-hmm. As a parent, I'm trying to, we protect our kids. We want to protect them of the innocent. We want them to be innocent as long as they can, because we know the road's going to be difficult. But I think as you get older, you lean on your family and you realize through the difficult times, your friends change.
Yeah.
You know, your spouses might change. You go through ups and downs. Your family never does. They're always there for you. And so you love them. And you can yell at each other. I mean, still to this day, you know, my brother and I yelled at each other when we were on a beach trip recently, and we immediately hugged and said, I'm sorry. We were just raising our kids and our kids were crying and he wanted one thing and I wanted another. And so we just, these are normal things that families go through, but they're just always there for you. And you appreciate, as a parent, you appreciate the hard work that your mom went through to raise you, that your dad went through, the changing the diapers, the crying, the staying up late at night, through the night when you're sick. Changing the bed sheets, you know, those are small things, but they add up.
And
18 years of your life, they took care of you. And I still lean on them.
There have been moments when I have called my mom and dad and just said, wow, I just want to say thank you. It's really hard to be a parent. And you did this for me. Thank you.
I said that to my dad the other day. I said, Dad, I just want to tell you I love you. He goes, have you been drinking?
Probably, because
I might have had a glass of wine, but I do love you. And I just want to tell you, because, you know, as we get older, you just, time flies and you don't ever want it to be your last day and you didn't tell them how you felt.
Absolutely. Jump on those moments.
Right.
What has surprised you the most about motherhood?
Probably how much easier it is than I thought it would be. Definitely the first 3 months when they're not sleeping, if you're listening to this, those are hard moments.
Yeah.
Thankfully, I didn't have
postpartum. Yeah.
Thankfully, I did not. A lot of my friends have had that. But those first 3 months were hard. She was allergic to dairy and soy. I was breastfeeding, so it was hard. I had to figure that out. That was hard. Her little tummy was in knots, and she was crying a lot. But we figured that out. We got through those first 3 months. She started sleeping through the night. That was a lot easier.
Hallelujah.
But it is, yeah. But I will say, I was always worried that it was going to be so hard, and was I going to be able to take care of this? I mean, I've had dogs in the past where the dogs are amazing. They're wonderful. But sometimes you're at a dinner party and you're like, I got to go home and take the dog out.
Sure.
And you love them, but you're like, oh, I have to leave the party. With your babies, it's like, I can't wait to see them. Or, you know, it's a lot. It's hard. I'm not saying it's the hardest job you'll ever love. Someone told me one time. It's so awesome. You come home and she runs into your arms and she says, Mama, love you. Mama, hold me. Hold me, Mama. And
nothing,
you know,
like it.
Nothing like it. And so to have that love, if there's anyone listening that's trying to decide if they want to have children, do it.
Yeah.
And if there's anyone listening that is trying to have children and can't, I've been through that. Not easy, really hard. You walk down the streets and you see mamas with babies and strollers and baby stores, and it hurts. But keep praying and do whatever you can to try to get that child. Even if you adopt a baby, there's so many children that need homes. It is. It's truly a gift. We're all just trying to do the best we can.
Isn't that the truth? Isn't that the truth? On that note of staying positive, as you mentioned, Ainsley and I worked at Ken's Five in San Antonio. That's how we met. I was the traffic anchor in the morning. Ainsley was the morning news anchor. And we worked together for 3 years. Love Texas. Weren't those good years?
They were so much fun.
San Antonio, go Spurs, baby.
I know.
It was such
We worked for Ken's Five, who sponsored the Spurs. So we got to go to all the games and went to a lot of the charity events that the team did. And I'm thinking, oh my gosh, I'm in a room with Tony Parker. And that's when he
Manu
was.
Ginobili.
Yes, yes. It was awesome. We
Tim
had
Tim Duncan.
Our boss. So our boss was Kurt Davis, and he is now with CBS in New York. So we're all in New York together now. Yeah. He was a phenomenal role model and still is. We're still friends with him. We love Kurt.
When you got the job at Fox News in New York, I remember thinking, fantastic, perfect fit. She's going to rock this. And I thought, I'd probably never see you again. You know, good luck. Ainsley's off to the big, bad city of New York. She's going to do her thing. And I thought, oh, I'll probably eventually get maybe to the West Coast, maybe back to Seattle, where all my family is. Ainsley goes to Fox News, does her thing. And then a couple years later, I got the job offer with Inside Edition and got to connect with you again. Fellowship is really important in this city. New York is huge. It can be really tough. It can be really rough. It's very competitive. And Ainsley and I reconnected and formed sort of a book club and fellowship group with other women. You shared with me many times how important it is to stay positive and stay the course. You were doing the overnight shift at Fox News, mm-hmm. which means tell everybody what time you went in and what time you went home.
Well, I did that shift for 7 years. So it changed a lot. But on average, I went in at 8 o'clock at night. Well, I had to be camera ready at 8. So I went in at 7. And I would stay until about 5 o'clock in the morning, 6 o'clock, actually 6 o'clock in the morning when Fox and Friends would come on. But then they started a show called Fox and Friends First that came on at 5 a.m. So we were on an hour earlier. So I thought, oh, I'll get to leave at 5. Well, then I auditioned for that show. And there were several of us that auditioned for it. And they whittled it down to 4. Then they whittled it down to 2. And they named me as the anchor, the co-anchor for the 5 a.m. show, Fox and Friends First. So I would work the overnight shift and then stay and anchor that last hour of my shift, which was 5 to 6 a.m.
So when everybody else was waking up, you were just ending your day.
Yes, I remember looking at the teleprompter some mornings thinking, am I seeing double? Are these words making sense? Am I just reading? Do I even know what I'm saying? Because I was so delirious.
Yeah.
I would try to take a little nap because during the night, you're doing news cut-ins during the primetime lineup. So you'd have like a 30-minute break in between each cut-in, sometimes an hour break, depending on what the schedule was that night. So, but they just needed, the point was, we have to have, in cable news, you have to have someone, or in news, you have to have someone always available. We were in local news, they would call us in the middle of the night and say, we have breaking news, you need to go cover it. But in at the national level, there's got to be someone camera ready always at the station. Because if something big breaks, you got to put it on the air immediately.
Yeah.
And there were a lot of big breaking news stories that happened in the middle of the night.
Sure.
So I had to be camera ready and sitting in my office, and it was actually a lot of fun. We had a family, meaning our overnight family, and we were together for years, and we would joke around and tell stories we knew about each other's lives and kids and ups and downs and dogs and babies and weddings, and we all have gone through all that together. So when Fox and Friends First, when they named us, that whole overnight crew, most of them also worked behind the scenes on Fox and Friends First. So we all got that boost together.
Nice.
And then when they named me the main anchor for Fox and Friends, the morning show, all of them were so supportive and so loving and wonderful because we grew together.
Yeah.
We've been together for, you know, 10 years, basically.
Yeah. So Ainsley's now on that curvy couch next to Brian Kilmeade and Steve Ducey and doing the big show, national show, waking everybody up. And you get all the big interviews, my friend.
Thank you.
Whether it's Donald Trump, Ivanka Trump, Melania, Mike Pence, you are the go-to girl.
Thank you.
Are you pinching yourself right now?
It's pretty unbelievable. I understand why they say now you need to get the experience. If I were 21 years old right out of college getting these interviews, I would not be prepared. It would have been pretty bad. But because of the experience that I've had over the years, and I'm pretty comfortable around them, and I feel like I'm a player now.
Yeah.
You know, it's nice
absolutely.
To have that confidence in the profession.
Absolutely. And anybody that knows that we're friends, they always ask me, you know, what's she really like? I'm like, she is exactly the same on TV as off. When you're goofing around and laughing with Vice President Mike Pence, I'm like, that's Ainsley. She will joke that way with everybody, and you're down to earth.
Well, they have been gracious to give me those interviews, and they've been very real to me. And I was with them on the campaign trail, and I've interviewed them so much that I feel comfortable with them.
Yeah. And it shows.
Thank you.
It really shows. Let's do some fun rapid fire questions.
Okay.
Favorite interview so far in your career?
Well, definitely sitting presidents. I mean, you can't beat that. So those are pretty spectacular. And when you walk onto the grounds of the White House, Wow. No matter if you voted for them or not, you walk on the grounds of the White House. It is spectacular. It's amazing. So those are always great. I remember interviewing Garth Brooks and thinking, I listened to your music when I was in high school. Oh, my goodness. I memorized every single song. I saw you. What was it? Open Fences? Was that his? Remember that tour?
Oh,
back when
gosh.
I was in high school. And so then I interview him at Yankee Stadium recently because he's just launched his tour again. And he said, do you have any kids? And I said, yeah. And he said, let me see pictures. And I show him pictures. And he's looking through my camera at my daughter. And I'm thinking, how crazy is this? I was just a kid when I started listening to your music. And now you're looking at pictures of mine.
Oh, my gosh.
It's just like, this is so weird.
Yeah.
And then Dolly Parton, who I just, she's precious and
yes.
doesn't want to get involved in politics. And she's just full of love.
Yes.
And I loved interviewing her because her family and her story is so interesting. You know, she came from nothing.
Oh,
and
yeah.
She's just a lovely, lovely person.
And that
teeny tiny.
That giggle. Aha!
Yeah. Her leg is like, three of her legs would fit in one of mine. Her leg was teeny tiny. She's so precious. She's
yeah.
adorable.
I remember that interview too. You sat next to her and she had, I think, her children's book coming out or maybe a movie.
And you were like,
let's go on tour together,
right.
Dolly.
I know.
I love it. Favorite New York hotspot?
I love the fall in the city because everyone comes back. The city gets pretty desolate because a lot of people that, you know, have houses outside of the city, they'll get out of the city just for a break and they take their kids. So I love it in the fall when everyone's back in the city and it's pre-Christmas. I love Christmas in the city, but there are a lot of tourists, so traffic's bad. And I welcome all the tourists here, but traffic's bad. So I love it in the beginning of the fall, like right now, when the restaurants are all still open and there's still seats, you know, chairs out on the streets.
Yeah.
You can go to a little quaint French restaurant with your friends and sit outside and have great food and rosé and great conversations. Those are my favorite moments in New York City, or taking my daughter to the park. She loves the swings and the slide and seeing the horses. We did a horseback carriage ride through Central Park. She loves that.
Yes. Best career advice you've ever received?
Work harder than anyone else. Work really hard. Always say yes. Don't burn bridges. Be kind to everyone. Have everyone's best interest in mind, even if it's a competitor. Give them the best advice. Love them. May the best man win is the way I look at that.
That's pretty good. Well, that's pretty good right there. That is excellent. Something about Fox and Friends that would surprise people.
It's freezing in the studio.
Really?
Freezing. I'm like, all the camera guys are wearing sweatshirts. I'm like, why don't you wear a t-shirt and then turn the air up higher so it's a little warmer in here so that we're all comfortable.
Yeah.
No. These guys, my co-anchors are in like three-piece suits.
Yeah.
So they want it cold.
Oh,
I'm like, come on. Yeah. But we have a lot of fun and we have great conversations during the commercial breaks and we're all really close and we get along really well.
I love it. You can tell too.
Thank you.
You can see it with you guys. Favorite movie of all time?
Family Man.
Favorite book?
The Bible.
That works. Favorite holiday to celebrate?
I love them all. Probably Christmas. Christmas or my daughter's birthday.
Mm-hmm. Favorite item you own?
Wow. Favorite item I own? My daughter? I would say...
Non-living.
I love my bedroom. I like my bedroom. I like the colors and it's really light colors. It's very relaxing. I like my bedroom.
You are a great decorator.
Thank
you. I've been to Ainsley's apartment. Fantastic decorator. Do you want to answer this one? Most embarrassing moment in TV?
Gosh, there's so many. How many times have I mispronounced someone's name? Here's a good one. I remember being in Texas. I did not know, stupid me, I don't know why I didn't know this, that if you see the name Jesus in the teleprompter, it's Jesus.
Oh, I remember this.
Remember this? So it's like my first week and there was a convicted felon. And I said, Jesus so-and-so is going to be behind bars for 50 years or whatever. And everyone started laughing and I'm like, they named their child Jesus and he's in prison. And everyone's like, Ainsley in South Texas, that's Jesus. I was so embarrassed, but it's like, whatever.
You never
Here I am,
messed
the
up
newbie.
Again.
No, I didn't.
You never
the
messed
newbie
up again.
Comes in.
Well, and I can share one of my embarrassing moments among so many that
what
involves you is sleeping in.
Oh,
so
yeah,
we
yeah,
went
yeah.
on air at 5 a.m., which means I started out getting up at like 3 and that time got pushed later and
As
later.
As it always does for all of us. Yeah.
And
snooze.
Yeah. And I came in so late one morning. And you and I were chatting in the bathroom and you're like, we really need to call each other. Like if we haven't heard from each other, a text or something by
that's because
like
remember one time the newscast started and I was not there. They called me and I'm like, well, did anyone think like did my co-anchor, did anyone think just to pick up the phone and call me if I'm not like in the newsroom that morning? So you and I made that pack that morning.
And I distinctly remember you calling me at like 4:15 and we need to go on air at 5 a.m. And you're like, Meg. And I'm like, I'm coming. You know, get out of bed completely frazzled.
Well, my biggest fear was like someone needs to call not only to wake us up, but to check on us and make sure I'm not like dead in a ditch on the side of the road. You know, true.
Because it's a scary time.
Yeah,
to be driving
it's three in the
work.
Morning. You're driving by yourself.
Most people are coming home from the bar, and we're going to work. Yeah, I think a couple mornings I started the newscast maybe with just some mascara on.
Oh yeah,
a little lip gloss, and that's it.
So Megan and I were always in the bathroom together. Remember that bathroom? Those lights were like yellow. You know, as a girl, you love natural light. Like you need windows in your bathroom so that you can see what you really look like when you put on the makeup on. So I'm sure we were packing on the makeup probably and had no clue, but we were putting on our makeup. I would feverishly read through all my scripts, then run to the bathroom and try to put on my makeup really fast. And there were days where we were late because I was spending too much time on my scripts, as I should. So we go out on set and I'm like, okay, I'm going to put my lip liner on and then go to commercial break, come back with some lipstick, maybe have a little bit of mascara on or like one eye done. It was just like that. We were both in the same boat.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's really funny. And then it made me appreciate at the national level, they do our hair and our makeup so that we can study for the show. You know, the men have the advantage. They just wear some powder.
Completely.
But we have to sit there for an hour while they're all studying for the show.
Yeah.
So I've learned to take my scripts in there, my paperwork, my articles, reading the newspaper while they're doing that. And it really takes a load off.
Yes.
Because I can focus on what's important. I need to be informed.
Getting up at those hours, though, ever since then, and that was back early 2000, that was like 2004, 2005, I have never been able to sleep in since. Are you that way? I mean, literally, once you get up that early, I can't sleep past 6, 7 a.m. on a non-work day. I just think my body got in that zone. Early bird gets the worm. Mm. Here we go. And there is something cool about being up when there's a sunrise. Isn't there?
Right? Yes.
And I was not a morning person before this business.
Me neither.
My parents are laughing right now and going, yeah, that was not the story in high school
and college.
I wonder
what's going to happen when we finally get to that time when we're in our 70s or whenever and we retire. Do you think we'll go back? Our natural rhythm is to be a night owl. I love being a night owl.
That's true.
I can't do it anymore.
Yeah, that's true. You are a night person. I don't know. I wonder, but I just can't sleep
in. But I wake up. My favorite thing, though, is if I go to bed early, which I normally fall asleep, especially on Friday nights, because I've been working, you know, for 4-5 days and waking up at 3 a.m.
Yeah.
My favorite thing is to go to bed at like 8 o'clock, and then my body wakes up at like 2 in the morning. The house is quiet. Everyone's asleep. I can like get my work done, grab my computer, answer emails. I try not to answer texts at that time, but it is nice just to have that quiet and that peace and wake up when everyone else is sleeping.
Yes.
And prepare for your day.
It is a special time that I would have never known if it hadn't been for the early morning shift. So anybody out there that gets a job with an early shift or early hours, there is some positive that can be found
in it.
What are the best pieces of advice that you've given me? You've given me many over the years, but I remember you telling me in San Antonio how to handle criticism. You know, viewers would write in and make comments about this or that. Like you said, the way you pronounced a story or the way your hair looked that morning or whatever, or going out to different events. You know, we'd go to the fair or do these concerts, MC these events. And, you know, people would sometimes make comments. And I remember one time somebody said something to me kind of critical. And I was like, how do you handle criticism? And you said to me, you know, you want to get upset. You want to get back at him or whatever. And you said, you know, I just try to remember that they're God's child too.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, enough said, mic drop.
Right.
Puts it in perspective. Yeah.
Well,
they're a person too, going through something too.
Yeah.
And when you have that perspective, I thank you for that. I think about that all the time. And I share that with other friends too. Got to remember, they're God's child
too. And you have to remember, they don't know you.
Exactly.
They don't know you.
You
know?
Yeah, of course.
If they really knew your heart, they wouldn't say those terrible things. And nowadays, social media allows people to say whatever and hide behind an anonymous picture.
But you know what? That applies to anything. A disagreement with a friend, something going on with a family member. I just want to say thank you because I think of that often.
Oh,
and
good.
That's just a great way to look at things. Where do you see yourself, Ainsley, in 10 years?
Right where I am.
Yeah?
Yeah. We've worked so hard to get where we are, Meg, as you know. Now I can breathe. I have my daughter. I love my job. It's my dream job. I'd love to stay where I am. We'll see. We'll see what God does. I'm open to anything. Whatever he wants is what I want, but I'm open to anything. It's in this book and Through Your Eyes, the second children's book. I started out by saying we have this list. I had this whole list planned for my daughter. She's going to do this and we're going to do this. And then you throw the list away. You're like, I just want her to be happy. I want to discover life with her. It's going to be okay. You know, so many parents are, my daughter's not walking yet. She's 1 year old. My son's not talking yet. I'm like, it's okay. They're happy. They're joyful. It's fine.
Yes.
You know, get them the care that they need if something's wrong. But just remember, it's okay. They don't have to check every box. They don't have to be the perfect student, the perfect child. It doesn't have to be so A+ and cookie cutter and perfect.
Enjoy your moment right where you are. Is a third children's book in the works?
Not right now. A third book is in the works. It's a book about my faith and just my journey. And I'm excited about that. It's going to be released next year. So it's just about my faith and how I met the Lord and how he's changed my life and gotten me where I am without being preachy, because I love everybody. I'm not pushing my faith on anyone. I just have to be honest and outspoken about what he's done in my life. And that's all I can speak for.
Fantastic. Cannot wait for that.
Thank you.
Also want to let everyone know that a portion of your books go to Folds of Honor.
That's right. Folds of Honor is a charity where they give money to children who have lost their parents fighting for our great country. It is an amazing organization. And Dan Rooney founded this. He has fought for our country, tours overseas as well. He was on a plane and the pilot announced at like midnight when they landed that they were bringing off the plane, a flag-draped casket of a soldier who had died fighting for our country. And his brother, his twin brother, was sitting in first class, and Dan passed him on the plane. And he thought, oh, that's a man in uniform, and Dan appreciated that. And then he went and sat in his seat, and then he sees the brother outside of the window. And the pilot said if everyone would just keep their seats and not get off the plane while the family is presented the casket, that would be great. So he looks out of the window and he watches the whole procession. And they bring out the flag-draped casket, and next to it is the twin brother walking alongside it, wheeling it over to the family. And it was a wife and her little son. And he said, who's going to play baseball with that child? Who's going to be a father figure to that kid? He said, I've got to do something to help that child. So he raised money to give that child an education. If I don't remember if the child needed private schools, but definitely college and all of that. So then Dan started this organization and he's raised millions of dollars. Budweiser's a sponsor. They've been so successful with this. They have a platinum rating, which it's hard to get a platinum rating if you're a nonprofit, because it means the majority of your money is spent going toward the scholarship or whatever your efforts are instead of paying for salaries. He's just an amazing man. So I thought I want to do something for children, something for soldiers. And my dad always raised us to tithe. You know, this is just icing on the cake. This is not my main salary. So this is anything I make from this, a portion of it goes to Folds of Honor. I'm happy to do that, of course. I'm so grateful
Wonderful. To
all of our viewers and our listeners for buying my books. And I just want to say thank you and give back in some way.
Wonderful organization. Please check it out, foldsofhonor.org, to get more information.
Correct.
And for more information on Ainsley's magical, beautiful books, go to AinsleyEarhartBooks.com, as you mentioned, through Simon & Schuster. No one
Thank
else
you.
I would rather chat with over a glass of wine, talk about real life, get advice from than
Thank
you,
you,
my friend. Thank you so much for
Thank
the gift
you,
of this book and for sharing your story.
Thank you for sharing yours. How do we get your book? How do the folks get your book?
Oh, you're so sweet. MeganAlexander.com.
She wrote an amazing book about her faith, too, so you got to pick that up.
You're so kind. It's fun. It's a fun journey. I think I just want to close by saying, you know what I thought of when I read this book is there was a story once in San Antonio that you read as anchor, and it ended with a bunch of children's giggles. It was a children's movie that had just opened in theaters, and we had the sound up, and all these little kids, like 4, 5, and 6, were giggling.
No better sound.
And you said, can we just roll that again? Let's just listen to those children's giggles, those baby giggles. And I think of that in some of these pictures that your daughter must be giggling
so funny. Many
of these moments and just enjoying life. So listen to those children's giggles and enjoy the moment, everybody. No matter where you are, get down on the level of a child and just take in life. I think that's what this book does. Ainsley Earhart, Through Your Eyes, My Child's Gift to Me. Thank you, my friend.
Thank you, Megan.
Thank you, everyone, for listening. Until next time, stay inspired.